Happy Tuesday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, a Hard Knocks Tuesday. We're kicking it all off, Ira, but before we get rolling, we have to thank your presenting sponsors, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. At Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, the summer sales challenge is almost over. Don't miss made-to-move clearance savings like a sporty 2017 ATS sedan lease for only $299 a month. Hurry to Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of I-275 on Fletcher, or click edmorriscadillactampa.com. Give them a call, 844-746-0513, but get it started at edmorriscadillactampa.com. And also, IRA at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, they too have great savings. The made-to-move 2017 clearance event continues. As we talked about last week, the car business, the car operation is moving into 2018. This is a great time to buy a vehicle. Great opportunities with Cadillac. Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. Check them out. And Mr. Kaufman, it is good to talk to you.
Steven, the deals continue in force at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. They welcome your business. Go down there. They'll take good care of you.
Absolutely, Ira. And we try to take care of the good folks, the Bucks fans, right here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, giving them your brand of fun. Of course, we all heard the chants of Ira at training camp the other day. Irv, my favorite personal chant was beet salad, beet salad, beet salad, because that just shows how deeply people are listening to the
What's
podcast.
What's next, Riesling? Riesling?
I heard a couple of where's the Riesling. They weren't chants, though. No chants of Riesling. I'm Steve Isbitz. Here with Lee DeKemper, we're JoeBucksFan.com, here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Ira, your numbers, I know you love your numbers, your podcast numbers, they're climbing. Now, that's a function, of course, of your greatness and your sage wisdom, but it's also a function of we're back in training camp. You know, July 4th, I respect that. Hey, you know what? July 4th, nothing's going on. You're telling stories about Brooklyn guys setting off fireworks. I forget the guy's name.
Ash cans, you know, M80s. Johnny Lobianco. Johnny Lobianco, I think, might have been the name.
I don't think it was Johnny.
Oh, okay.
I think it was Lobianco, so I forgot.
All right.
Whatever it was. And we still, July 4th episode, still popping 5,000 listens, which is incredible, but we're moving up steadily, way, way far from that.
Football fever, right, Steve? Football fever, no doubt about it.
The Bucks are back. Now, Ira, before we get into some of the other cool stuff we have, I have to go right to the news of the day, right to the sage wisdom that we all crave of the day. Jay Cutler is now the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, a team that went 10-6 last year, a team with a legitimate backup quarterback in Matt Moore, who won 4 starts last year. Jay Cutler, Bucks faced them week 1. What's going on here?
Not a Buck fan in the land should be losing any sleep over Jay freaking Cutler. And let me tell you why. Nobody likes him in the locker room, and it's not going to change in Miami. And I don't care about Adam Gase being the quarterback whisperer, Lee. It's still Jay Cutler. And when the game's on the line, he's going to make a critical mistake. He certainly hasn't ripped the Bucks apart over the years. And at this point, I think Tannehill's better. So,
ooh.
Lee, when I look around, not just the division, but the home, you know, the season opener at Hard Rock Stadium, things are falling the Bucks' way, Lee. They seem to be falling the Bucks' way. Again, I know Cutter knocked on my head the other day when I said something about health and he was looking for the nearest piece of wood and he found me. But, Lee, this has been an uneventful. Uneventful is a blessed word to a head coach. This has been an uneventful Bucks camp, except for stick carrier day. And you can use that kind of distraction. But by that, I mean health-wise. I mean, this team's in fantastic shape right now. And Buck fans, don't hold it against me if somebody goes down later in the week. I'm just telling you what's going on right now. Cam Newton hasn't thrown a ball, Lee. Hasn't thrown a football. Mm-hmm. The quarterback you're facing in week 1 is a guy who hasn't arrived yet at Dolphins training camp. So in that respect, can things go any better for this franchise? It's been a very good training camp so far.
I did see Vernon Hargraves limp off the field today, and I have not gotten an update. I wasn't there when Cutter took the podium. I should have asked Mike Smith. Didn't. As far as uneventful, I was talking with someone today. I said, is it just my imagination, or is Noah Spence having a very quiet training camp? And this guy looked at me.
Quietly good?
Just quiet. Have you heard much about him? I haven't. More importantly, I haven't seen much about him. And I told this to a fellow scribe of ours, and he looked at me and goes, you know what? You're right. You were there when Mike Smith took the podium.
Yeah.
I got the first question, and it was about Noah Spence. So that's going to be an upcoming story. I find that, I don't know, troubling is the right word, but, you know, a guy they have a lot of faith in, he's not flashing this
summer. And,
you
know, Smith wasn't effusive in his praise either.
Yeah,
he didn't go overboard.
I'm starting to get a little uneasy feeling, let's put it that way. As far as Cutler, you really think Tannehill's better than Cutler? Seriously? I'm not saying Jay Cutler's Joe Montana. Don't get me wrong. But you don't think there's a connection? Cutler had one of his best seasons when everybody thought he was washed up. He had one of his best seasons with Gase, and that's one reason why Gase is in Miami, because they saw, look what he did with Cutler, maybe he could fix Tannehill.
He's still coming in a few days before the exhibition opener.
True.
Steve. I mean, it's a problem.
It's a problem in Miami.
A couple things. Before we go to Cutler, I'll drive off the path with Lee there. I'm not rooting against Noah Spence, but I sat here and told you guys that I wasn't sold on him, that he's got so much to prove. But I'll say this. Defensive ends, hard to judge them very, very well in training camp. I'll give you one example. You go look at, there's a video, one of the Hard Knocks teasers that's circulating, is Chucky talking about Brent Grimes and how much he loves Brent Grimes. Then he meets Brent Grimes and, you know, says, "I love you, man," and he punches him in the chest saying, "You're one of my favorite players," and all that. But in that video, some of the highlight background, you see a throw with Brent Grimes with a pass breakup on Martino or Huff. I couldn't tell the number. And no surprise there that he can cover one of those guys. But if you watch the video closely, you see Noah Spence beating Donovan Smith, and then he kind of lets up. What's he going to do to James? He's going to chase him down. He's going to, you know, he is beating Donovan Smith multiple times. I think his edge pass rush is good. I'm not seeing much, and I haven't seen anything from Noah Spence rushing inside. Not, you know, from the outside position, but with a move inside. I haven't seen much from him. And I
think one thing, Steve, the one thing we've been hearing the most about the D-line, tell me if I'm wrong, is 93 is unblockable. They've been saying that since day one.
Yes.
Unblockable.
Yeah, he's looked great. He had back-to-back run stuffs in the backfield right in front of the stick carriers on Saturday. Just domination. No surprise. But I'll say this about Spence, because it's still an unknown. Mike Smith, the podium, he did say, one of his quotes today was, "We haven't played football yet." So take it all with a grain of salt. But you know what, Ira, this Cutler thing, right? Miami doesn't want to pass the ball and air it out on opening day. They weren't that kind of team necessarily anyway. Jay Ajayi, that's a run-first team.
And that's why it's going to be a very good test for a run defense, which was suspect in 2016.
Exactly. Week two, the Bears, they're Jordan Howard. That's the offense there. They're going to pound the ball. They got Mike Glennon at quarterback. You don't want to open it up with Glennon. Week three,
Dalvin Cook,
Latavius Murray and Dalvin Cook and Sam Bradford. This is run in those first three games coming up. I'm not sure how much Noah Spence is even going to play. You know, obviously you want to get those guys into passing situations, but
didn't Spence say the first thing he said was, "I think Spence is going to be a four down player." I think he meant three down player.
He said he wants him to be.
He wants him to be because he said that they didn't have much of a rotation, and he thought the players, as the season went along, even though they had a great run of games in the second half, they were getting spent.
So back to Cutler, Ira. Why did the Dolphins do this? You're the NFL sage. Why did they do this when they have a legit backup? Isn't that destroy your team chemistry?
They panicked. And they gave Cutler everything he wanted because they had to woo him out of the booth. Ironically,
$10 million might do that.
He was gonna take John Lynch's spot. That's the spot. John Lynch is the number two guy with Kevin Burkhardt, and Charles Davis was gonna be the number three guy. They were gonna go with a three-man committee. As Fox's number two team.
And Charles Davis was here, by the way.
Charles Davis was here. Now, I'm hearing quotes from Cutler saying money had nothing to do with my decision.
Yeah, right.
Can we move on, gentlemen? Can we move on to that?
I'm not
a Jay Cutler guy. I don't know how you guys feel about Jay Cutler.
I'm not a big Jay Cutler fan at all, but I recognize his talent. He's basically the modern-day version of Jeff George. You know what they said about Jeff George? Million-dollar arm, 10-cent head.
You know what? I thought you were going to say the modern-day version of Steve DeBerg, of which Bill Walsh once said the famous line, "Just good enough to get you beat." Just good enough to get you beat. That's the way I look at Cutler.
It is. So with Cutler, you know, I'm sure his wife, like, "Honey, $10 million in Miami Beach? What are you thinking?"
Yeah. At this point, I'm questioning whether he's better than Moore as a backup.
Better than who? Matt Moore?
Yeah, better than Matt Moore. But we still don't know about the extent of Tannehill's injury. We don't have the details yet. Is he out for 6 weeks? Does he have surgery? Is he out for the year? What a blow for the Dolphins. What a blow. And it makes you think, what would happen? God forbid. What would happen If Winston sprained his knee and somebody said he's going to be out for the next 7 weeks,
well, I can tell you
this place should be in a panic.
Well, I don't know if panic is the right word. I would just think they would understand the season's over.
And by the way, Steve, and this I think is a fruitful debate here. I think when the chips are down and the smoke clears, and I think you guys would agree, Fitzpatrick is going to get this job. But you know what? He hasn't had a very good camp.
No, he's not.
And I think Griffin might be outplaying him, Steve. He might be outplaying him.
Yeah, I don't think Griffin's outplaying him, but he hasn't had a very good camp. Again, Griffin, he has so much to prove to be that guy. But I know a lot of Bucs fans just punched the wall. They drove off the road. They just cursed because Lee said the season would be over if Jameis was out 6-7 weeks, which was the hypothetical. I don't think Bucs fans believe that. Not now. I think they feel that they could go 3-3, 3-4, and pull out the season with Jameis.
With
Jameis coming back. I think they could do that. I really think they could.
Missing 3 or 4 games? Yeah. Missing half a season? So
you think they're doomed to 2-5 if he missed 7 games?
I think any playoff hopeful that loses a starting quarterback is doomed, period, end of sentence. Look at Arizona a couple years ago. Fantastic team. Carson Palmer goes down, over. And you could go almost every year. You could cite a good team with playoff
aspects. You know what's ironic?
What do you think, Kyrie? You're the sage?
All right, well, when you talk to people outside the organization, sometimes you hear like, nah, I think the Bucs are going to go 7-9 or 8-8. You say, why? And they say, schedule, tough schedule. But the story within that story is, boy, the first 3 weeks really look pretty darn winnable. I mean, you're playing at Miami. They were a 2-point favorite. Now with the Tannehill injury, that could be a pick'em game. Chicago doesn't scare anybody.
You're betting already, Ira? It's August.
He's wagering.
Well, you know, you got to jump on the Vegas boys. And who's worried about Sam Bradford? You know, unless Dalvin Cook lights it up.
There
they
you
don't
go.
Have much of an offense. So, Steve, and who's waiting? Who's waiting hanging helplessly in the wind like a stick figure more than Doug Martin? To see what happens the first 3 weeks of the year. He can't do a damn thing about it. And I'm going to say it again. If they're 2-1 or 3-0 and Jacquizz Rodgers is running the ball well, I don't want to mess with that. And I don't think Cutter will either. And I don't want to hear any argument to the contrary that all of a sudden Doug Martin's going to make the spectacular entrance if this team's doing well.
I'm going to go back with the same subject, Doug Martin, but I'm going to take a step back a little bit. What the conversation was a little while ago about the defense, we brought up Noah Spence, that they're not really playing defense. I can cite an example today that I can't remember the particulars as far as whose it was, but it was a short pass, and I didn't take notes, so I don't have the numbers, don't have the players, but I think it was with the threes. But regardless, to emphasize how they're not playing full-blown defense yet, guy catches a pass over the middle. He turns towards the inside. A linebacker should have absolutely wiped this guy out, and instead he jumped out of his way. That tells you that message has been sent by Cutter and Smith. Don't hammer your teammates. Doug Martin today made a run. That guy looked like Darren Sproles. What he did not do last year whatsoever, he ran to daylight. He juked a couple of linebackers out of their shoes. It was impressive. But then again, tap the brakes. They're not playing full-blown defense.
Steve, we would be remiss.
Well, they were in pads.
Yeah, they're in pads, but they're just told not to hit.
Look, and we would be remiss to not hear your sage wisdom, Ira. I just wanted to throw in there that I asked Cutter over the weekend. I said, hey, Dirk, you said all spring you can't evaluate the running backs till the pads come on. So we've had the pads on a while. What do you think? And he said, well, you know, we're just doing thud tackling. It's not really there. I can't really evaluate.
So now he wants to wait until the preseason
games. Go ahead.
We would be remiss, Steve, even though a couple of days have passed, Lee. We have to acknowledge what happened right here at One Buck Place a couple of days ago. You said, and I'll give you the credit, this is going to be a game changer. And the stick carriers came out early. They came out in force. They captured the attention of Buck players, Buck management, Buck ownership, everybody.
Almost everybody. A couple of hardliners that don't want to acknowledge fans.
A shout out to Pawlowski, the commish. Did a fantastic job on Saturday. I will say this, Justin, you're going to be listening to this podcast, I know. I'm not sure you were breathing when Cutter came over to talk to you. I'm not sure you were breathing. You had a little a moment there. I don't think it was panic, but I just think it was like, can you believe this? The head coach of the Buccaneers is making a move towards me and acknowledging me, but he deserves it because he's been at this at the start, and he is the unacknowledged leader of the stick carriers. And that picture when Cutter grabbed that frame, you guys were there. That reminds me of that Seinfeld episode with the picture of Kramer. And it had those couple of people that, you know, those stuffy people. And the woman turns to the man and goes, it's remarkable. I must have it. And there's Cutter with the tie and the jacket on. It reminded me of Kramer.
Every time I see that portrait, I crack up. Every time. It's 3 days later, 2 days later. Every time I see a picture, a video, whatever, I just crack up. But when Cutter came to visit Pulowski, it was like the pontiff coming to bless someone, you know. The video, Rock Riley's video, what a tremendous video. Anybody wants the whole experience whittled down to like 2 minutes, yes, go watch Rock Riley's video that was posted on Joe Bucks Fan Monday.
And of course, Steve, the beauty of it is in Cutter's mind, in that crazy, beautiful mind of Dirk Cutter, he wants Raymond James to be like that on home Sundays. And maybe it was like that for a game or two last year. He always mentions that Seattle game. Defense. Well, and they really hounded Russell Wilson that day. And Cutter wants 8 days like that this fall.
It's about making a difference in the stadium. A couple things. Rock Riley's video is excellent. The one thing it's missing is the early morning scene. There is video out there, pictures out there. And even with Brian Ford, chief operating officer of the Bucks, there were easily 400 lined up outside training camp.
At what
400
time?
People at 7:15 a.m., 15 minutes before the gates open, and at literally an hour and a half before practice was to start. Now, of course, this was the training camp takeover for those in the dark. Training camp takeover fueled by us here at JoeBucksFan.com. Justin Pulowski is the ringleader of his podcast, Bucks Uncensored. He coined the phrase stick carriers, which really galvanized the fans back in December. And, you know, it was fun. A couple of months ago, Justin and I, we were reminiscing about it the other day. We had met Solo in local establishment. We're kicking around some ideas, and the training camp takeover idea hatched. And at that time, I was like, that's the franchise changer. That we talked about how it would be executed, and that would be the game changer because it's about the fans. And you know what? You think of Seattle. You think of Pittsburgh.
The 12th man, yeah.
Seattle, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and the Dog Pound. Are those big markets, Ira? No, they're not big markets. They're no bigger than Tampa. But the organization and the desire and the hunger is there. And this town and this team has missed the boat by not having a unified base, a core. There can be three or four fan clubs or whatever you want to call them. But we haven't had one. And here we have an in-stadium group. And that's what this is. You know, what the Buck, Derek Fournier has had a great tailgate operation and a nice fan-based operation for years with his podcast, website, charity stuff, and does a huge tailgate. But the focus of that group was never in stadium, taking over and making a difference on the field. And that's what the stick carriers are about, making a difference on the field and off the field. And I say off the field in attacking media. Anybody who's going to take a shot at the team, anybody who's coming after the Bucks,
an unfair shot.
They're going to hear
an unfair,
an unfair shot.
Yeah.
And so it's really heightened it up. Obviously, social media has helped immensely. And Justin's done a masterful job as the ringleader.
And Lee, not
in a short amount of time.
You're getting some national love, right? You told me today.
Today, Good Morning Football, NFL Network's morning show with everybody's Bucks fans, it girl Kay Adams. They were talking about it. And speaking of Kay Adams, and I do have a picture of her wearing a Bucks cap, by the way. I haven't used it yet.
So there you go.
That'll get people worked up. Tomorrow, well, I shouldn't say tomorrow.
Would you be surprised if Fizbits doesn't send her a stick carrier shirt in the mail?
Well, I haven't discussed my trip to New York but we'll get to that one. Right,
I hear through the grapevine that she already has one. All right. As you're listening to the broadcast right now, probably you are our faithful listeners. Good Morning America, Kay Adams announced Friday morning on her Twitter feed, the stick carriers will be featured on Good Morning Football Tuesday morning.
Monday morning. Monday morning, she announced that.
She announced it Monday morning. That will be broadcast Tuesday morning.
Right. You said Friday. Yeah. So we didn't want to confuse
I wonder if they're going to use some video, Steve.
Well, I'm sure they got some video from the Bucs. I do have to say it was kind of funny. On Good Morning Football today, Peter Schrager, friend of JoeBucksFan.com, he's one of the co-hosts. You see him on sideline broadcasts as well, sideline reporter on Fox. Schrager said on the air that it was 50 to 60,000 Bucks fans. He must have screwed up a zero because legitimately it was 5 to 6,000 at practice. But he said on national television 50 to 60,000, which, of course, it was just funny because it was nowhere close
We talked to Brian Baldinger that day, Lee. One of the first things he mentioned was, I heard these people out at 7:30 in the morning. I heard them. So, you know, NFL Network, the word's getting out.
Yeah, Brian Baldinger is an NFL Network reporter, and NFL Network right now, they do these training camp tours. They broadcast live from training camp sites, and Baldinger was here Saturday for that very purpose. They didn't know anything about the stick carriers.
And
just so happened
he had
to
just
there.
Come from Spartanburg. He's, you know, checked out. And where he told me that, by the way, Christian McCaffrey is uncoverable. Nobody can cover the guy.
Well, Jonathan Stewart said nobody can cover him one-on-one. I'm like, I want you to talk to Brent Grimes. That's all.
But you know what? I'm not overly concerned about the Panthers if I'm a Bucs fan because, you know what? Cam Newton, he hasn't thrown pass one yet, Stephen. Not one ball. I know shoulder injuries are a little dicey, but again, another example of how things are going the Bucs way now.
Yeah, things seem to be going the Bucs way. Right back to the last point about the stick carriers and how loud they were, Baldinger said when he got here in the morning. The coolest thing I heard about that, DeSean Jackson said he was in team meeting room Saturday morning before practice. He could hear the stick carriers like, whoa, this is going to be special.
DeSean's mother is now a stick carrier, Stephen?
Yeah, there are a lot of players' families involved in this. Yeah. Ali Marpet's dad was in the mix on Saturday.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
I saw him today. That's quite a family, Marpet's.
Yeah, there's a lot there, and Miko. It's fun.
Speaking of Miko.
We're going to talk about your Miko experience.
I did meet Miko.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. It's on my list here. It's on my list. Probably the neatest thing Baldinger said, he did an interview with Casey Phillips, Buccaneers.com. You know, she just cornered him to talk to about what was going on the field, like a 2-minute interview after practice, long after practice. She asked him, you know, what do you think of what you saw from the Buccaneers on the field today? Blah, blah, blah. He said, well, I got to tell you, what really impressed me was I pull up to go to training camp today, and I thought there was an English Premier League soccer game starting up at 8 in the morning or
That's
something.
Outstanding.
He said, I couldn't believe this fan base, unbelievable.
This is a guy who probably has visited every training camp over the last 5 years, every one.
Exactly. He's going to every single one. He even started in the spring doing these OTA tours. They've been sending him on the road, so it was impressive. Now, Ira, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, they are your proud sponsors, presenters. They sponsor all of your work.
Been with me since day one, Steve.
Day one. We're more than a year now. Day one. And EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. That's where you can start your searching for your Cadillac or other vehicles. They're the only Cadillac dealerships in Hillsborough County. And all of your columns, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, it's got their name on it. These podcasts, these booming podcasts, everything you do. And we're grateful to them. And if you like Ira, if you love what Ira's doing here, you're going to support them. It's really just that simple. Not that difficult at all. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Now, Mr. Kaufman.
Now, Steve, one more quick thing about it.
Before we get to Miko, but please.
Quick. Please. We know people, Steve, you and I.
Oh.
Both know people that have even gotten Cadillacs, but from other dealerships and are thinking about now going to Ed Morse based on the kind of things that you and I are saying. And they're going to give Ed Morse a chance. And that's all Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. That's all they want. That's all they ask for, Steve, is a chance. Come in our door, let us show you what you got, and we'll work with you. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
And I must say, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, 2016 Cadillac Dealer of the Year, and the service department there, fantastic hot chocolate, snacks. I mean, you would love the food.
Beet salad.
I'm sorry. Ira, as we've mentioned before in the podcast, Fan Retreat, the great new company where you can go to fanretreat.com and book your travel, book your hotels, but you can also book rent a cars and all event tickets.
Like a one-stop shop?
One-stop shop. Football tickets, basketball, whatever you need. It's all like StubHub and Priceline.com all together. Very simple and easy. Great concept. FanRetreat.com. But they really are with a heavy emphasis toward sports fans. Just they understand sports fans and their needs. Now, their big kickoff event, big kickoff party, their first party, features you. They decided, this national company decided, Sage of Tampa Bay, we want Ira. And what they're doing is a fan retreat event night before the home the season
opener.
What's
the matter? Tom Krasnicki wasn't available over there, Stephen? Take that, Krasnicki. Continue.
Night before the season opener at the Hampton Inn in Miramar, there is a fan retreat event, 5:30 to 7:30. Free food, free beer, while supplies last, people. Okay, there's not a beer truck, as Lee said, parked in the back. There'll be plenty of beer, plenty of food, but this is not like a keg party in the sense of it's going till 1 a.m. Ira will be doing a Q&A. And an insider Q&A, as I like to call it, schmoozing, not just pressing the flesh, but answering all your Bucks questions. It's going to be filled with
Bucks. A Hall of Fame material I'll offer.
Whatever you got. Ira's game. And already, Ira, 70 RSVPs.
I think that's fantastic.
For this event. 70. We're more than a month out. FanRetreat.com/Miami has all the details. FanRetreat.com/Miami. Very easy to find. You can also book your hotels there if you're going to the game. Obviously, this is for people going to the game because it's the night before and in South Florida. And you can get your tickets as well if you don't have tickets yet, but you're already going. You get $10 off with your code JoeBucksFan. You'll also get a discount on your room with your code.
There's also a rumor one of the Joes might be around in that room. You never know.
I believe Lee's supposed to be there. Lee, can we confirm that?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Lee will be there. How about that?
But still, Ira's the keynote speaker.
Absolutely.
I'm going to save some good stories for our listeners.
Ira has the stage. And it's just pretty cool. 70 RSVPs. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to RSVP. It's open. But they're asking for RSVPs to help plan. And why not? So go fanretreat.com/Miami. It's going to be, I wish I could go. I wish it's going to be unbelievable.
Can they wear a stick carrier shirt? They're certainly welcome.
Absolutely. Anything is welcome. Anything is welcome. And it's also a great way to stay at the hotel. Discount rate through FanRetreat.com. So you'll get that on the page, FanRetreat.com/Miami.
Could this be extended to other Buck trips?
One step at a time.
You were talking about, people can wear what they want. Obviously, if you're an attractive woman, less is more applies.
The Kemper always has the last word, Steve. Always. You're not looking for Rachel Watson in the crowd, are you, Lee?
I'm always looking for Rachel Watson.
There you go.
All right, Ira, I believe that you had your first embrace, your passionate meeting with the great Miko Grimes. Share with us.
Well, I kind of been looking for her for a few weeks because every time that practice is over and we go out on the field, I always turn to the Kemper and I go, is Miko here today? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she's over there, in that first tent over there. But I've never met her. Look, who hasn't heard a lot about Miko Grimes? I read a lot about her. The Sports Illustrated article just came out. And I find her husband, number one, very incisive, very intelligent, doesn't look for publicity. But if you want a guy that really gives you the inside dope on what's going on, Brent Grimes, is a heck of an interview.
Sure is.
But he's not a self-promoter. Yeah. And I think, ironically, in the end, that hurts him a little bit in terms of national recognition. He arguably, I know this sounds crazy, he might have been the best cornerback in football last year.
That's
arguable.
That's not crazy, no.
He had a heck of a year. So anyway, I say to Lee, I think today, Miko around, and then I look around and I see Brent Grimes coming and he's talking to a woman and the child, and I say to the Kemper, is that Miko? Oh, yeah. Why don't you go over there?
You're quite a detective, Ira.
The killer used the spoon in the green room. Yeah, I'm all very good on that game clue. Anyway, the Kemper sends me over there. Meanwhile, she's talking to her. She's engrossed. Big conversation with her husband. She hasn't seen him in 3 hours. He goes, hey, go break up that conversation, Calvin. I walk over. Brent thinks I'm coming over to interview him. I got my tape recorder. I go, I don't need you. I need Miko. And I said, Miko, Ira Kaufman, Joe Bucks fan. And the classic quote, you can't make this stuff up. Oh, I know who you are.
He was let down.
Oh, I know who you are.
He was waiting for his big embrace. So like, I know who you are.
I knew that she kind of meant it almost as a compliment because she kind of retweeted my column on her husband from about a week or two ago. And normally, if she didn't like you or she had a grudge against you, she would have followed up that line, I know who you are, with a little zap. Mm-hmm. I didn't get the zap. I shook hands with the little kid. He gave me a high five, and I got the hell out of there. So I escaped, and there was no wrath of Miko. She was very pleasant, and I look forward to talking to her in the future. By the way, today was Alumni Day. I didn't even know that when we were walking in. I didn't even
Nor
know
did
that.
I.
So I start walking. Instead of going to the right, the media, I got, you know, I like to press the flesh over there at the Kemper. The pillow lady was sitting there.
Was she?
The
I didn't
first
see
time
her.
I saw her. Well, all of a sudden, Steve, I look around, and I see Mark Royals, you know, and I see James Wilder.
I missed that.
Yeah. And I see Mark Robinson.
Saw him.
And a whole bunch of Bucks. Cotney. Mark Cotney. And
Sabby.
No. The goat didn't make it. The goat. he was sitting with Miko, and he ran out after a couple of plays. But anyway, you know, it was a lot of fun seeing some of these Buck people. When I saw Wilder, mm-hmm. I said, you know, hey, there's more than a few of us in the media that think your day's coming in the Ring of Honor, and sooner rather than later. You know, he's very self-effacing, Wilder. He's not a self-promoter.
His son is.
He was a heck of a player, James
oh,
Wilder.
Oh, yeah.
For a while, I think he's all the offense had
yeah.
some of those years.
That speaks volumes.
Yeah.
The defense knew who was going to get the ball, and he still did well.
You run into Anthony Collins? Derek Ward?
Now you're throwing you're throwing unbelievable names at me over there.
All right.
Since we were talking about Miko, I got to throw this out there.
Like, classic.
Last week, I met Miko for the first time again at practice, and I introduced myself. And
did she say, I know who you are?
No, but she couldn't have been more gracious. I mean, she's got this public persona where you wonder. And, you know, so I introduced myself, and we had some play. She couldn't have been more gracious.
I think the fact that we really haven't had anything to talk about in terms of Miko Grimes and her tweets in more than a year in Tampa, I think it kind of speaks volumes about what's going on in the building. I mean, they're very happy here. They like the quarterback. They like the team. They like the organization. Otherwise, you'd hear about it through Twitter. I don't think there's any question about it.
Well, I hate to be a little cynical and disagree with you, Ira, but that is what I do on this podcast. I'm not saying that anybody shut Miko up. I'm not saying that at all. But I think that it certainly feels like an agreement was reached that, hey, you know, can we all sort of kind of cool it?
I don't know about that, Steve. You might know more about it than I do.
I'm not saying that somebody told her to be quiet, but I think the discussion, if I had to say, guess, I'd say the discussion was had, and she decided that she was going to cool it because she said that on her podcast several times. I'm not talking about the Bucks. Not talking about the Bucks. I even hung in on her podcast a long time ago. It's very long. They were breaking down the NFC South and the NFC and that podcast, in addition to all this personal stuff going on, and came to the Bucks. She just backed off. So I don't know if that means anything, but you know, she's made the decision to cool it, but that could change on a dime. And I think it will if there's a problem or something arises that gets under her skin. Because, look, Brent Grimes, he's hinted at retirement. That might be a ploy. I don't know what the ploy would be, but he's hinted at it. He's obviously of the age. He's made a ton of money. So, you know, I don't know. I don't think she would hesitate to let loose if she felt the need to. But
well,
everything's good.
You and I, Lee, we heard Mike Smith talk at length about Brent Grimes today from the podium. Boy, does he love he loves himself some Brent Grimes.
Yeah, well, obviously
he says the guy's playing like he's in his prime.
Yeah, they have a history, clearly. And like Steve, I think Miko, if there was something at issue, she would not be hesitant to bring it up. I'll give you an example. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn. If I am, I apologize, Miko. But we got to talking about Jameis and how people still take pot shots at Jameis. And she said, none of that's going to happen on my watch. So, you know, that was it. That was
not
a shot
a bad
across
person to have in your corner over there. It's not a bad person.
So if she felt Jameis was being slighted, she would speak up. So I think it. She hasn't had a reason to speak up.
Is there any sense, and I don't mean do you have
to this
sense,
podcast? Oh, okay.
Is there any sense that things are going so kind of swimmingly at this point that people, you know, that we're waiting for the shoe to drop? Where's the adversity? There's got to be some adversity.
Well, the adversity was in the kicking game. Cutter
segue.
Cutter came out today and was like, he was very passionate about that today. He said, look, it was bad. Whatever both guys ate for breakfast today, don't do it again. Take it off the menu. Said it was real bad. And he doesn't want to. It was very interesting. It was very subtle. Cutter said he doesn't want it to go to the last preseason game to pick a kicker. He'd like to do it sooner rather than later, which is
and that gets your kicker more reps if you do it sooner rather than
later.
He
wants somebody to step up and win the job, and he doesn't want to wait till the very end. So the question is, well, why? I mean, who cares? You just pick the best kicker. Why don't you want to wait till the end, coach? I didn't really get that part of it because it's not like you start game planning with the kicker, right? Hey, we want a kicker in there by week two of the preseason so we can get him acclimated. No, the guy just steps up and kicks the ball. So I didn't really get that part. But Cutter did say, goes back to something we talked about on the podcast, Cutter did say, hey, we could get to the preseason and not have a kick. Then what?
That's right.
Now, to that, I posed this to you months ago, Ira. I said, would Cutter go out of his way to set up kicks in the preseason? Second half of a preseason game. Well, okay, it's third and four. We're on the 38. Maybe we just run up the gut and let Nick Folk step up from 53 here instead of trying to get a first down. I think that's coming. I really do, because they need to see this. But I'll last on point on this, and then I want to hear your sage wisdom and Lee's. Roberto Aguayo had a bad day today.
Had a very good day the other day.
No worse than Nick Folk's day, but he had a bad day. And that shows a mental issue. That's a mental issue. Is no wind out there, no wet ball conditions. So if there's any hint of a mental issue by Aguayo, that's got to be sending off. We're here in One Buck Place. That's got to be sending off cowbells, gongs all over the place. He can't afford to do that anymore. Otherwise, he's not going to get this job.
Look, guys, it's no great secret. Based on what happened last year, he's got to outkick Folk, and maybe by a significant margin. Lee, am I wrong on that?
No, you're not wrong. And I'm sure what the Bucks hierarchy was looking for. All right, he's had a he had a good day. Last practice was a Saturday. He was starting to pull away from Folk just a little bit. I'm not saying much, but you can see he was starting to make some headway. And I'm sure the Bucks were hoping to see, let's see some consistency. You're starting to pull away. You know, you're getting, obviously the pressure's coming off of you, and he has a bad day today. And as Steve emphasized, no worse than Folk did. But here the guy was starting to pull away, starting to make some headway, starting to look like, you know, this is the guy we drafted, we expected when we drafted, and all of a sudden he takes a step back.
Steve, that second round draft status is not going to help Aguayo. It's not going to help him. It's not going to matter one iota in terms of Dirk Cutter. And more significantly, Jason Light. It's not going to matter to Jason Light. At some point, he's going to throw up his hands and say, Dirk, you want the other guy? We're going with the other guy.
Yeah, Cutter will make this call, and it's going to be darn interesting. Sets up Friday night quite nicely. A preseason game, Mr. Kaufman. Something to assess and to have some fun with.
Very interesting what you said about trying to maximize the number of field goal attempts while you're still trying to sort this out. I'll say this, Steve. In retrospect, nobody remembers what happened in the exhibition season. Nobody remembers scores. In fact, what I remember is the Detroit Lions under Rod Marinelli going 4-0 in the preseason and going 0-16. That actually happened. 0-16
sure.
After 4-0. So for those people that think, nah, there's no way Cutter would ever do this, you got to win these preseason games. You got to have Jameis throw that, you know, red zone pass. No. The priority now is to sort out what's going on with the kickers. One of the priorities. And you can't have two games go by without a field goal attempt. They want to see these guys under game conditions, Lee. I don't think that is crazy.
Like Steve says, I think it's Cutter's call. And it's hard to believe that a team that has playoff aspirations like the Bucks do and invested so much money to be a playoff contender that they're going to bankroll or hedge their bets on a guy who's inconsistent in practice.
That's the key. That's the key. They have legitimate playoff hopes, and that's why you got to go with the guy that you feel the most comfortable.
Well, I've said from the start, I think it's Folk's job, but my true hope here is that Folk gets the job. I'm just going to come out and say it. And Aguayo plays well enough, and something happens around the league where they can trade him and maybe get back a sixth-round pick or a seventh-round pick. That would be the ideal scenario for the Bucks because Aguayo could still fetch that. With his talent level, and if a team's desperate, you know, the Bucks traded for Kyle Brinza. Hate to tell everybody that, but that happens. And maybe Aguayo can fetch a pick. We go with Folk. We move on.
You mean directionally challenged Kyle Brinza?
He was better. Yeah.
Hey, you know, it's funny. Some of these former Buck kickers are still, quote, kicking around.
Yeah.
Like Pat Murray.
That was such a cheap pun.
Is he with the Saints
now? That was such a but that was such a cheap pun. You're better than that, Ira. Yeah, you're a professional.
I am better than that. Mike Nugent's still kicking around. Steve, Mike Nugent.
Hey, Matt Bryant's having. Matt Bryant just went to the Super Bowl.
Outstanding.
Guy just went to the Super Bowl. He kicked over 90% field goals last year.
Wasn't good enough. Yeah, I love Mark Domin to death. But, you know, in retrospect, and it's just maybe I'm slow about this, and I like Mark a lot. I really do. But, jiminy Christmas, some of the moves he made.
Wait a minute. Your rock star made a mistake over there at the Kemper? Watch out.
Well, we'll get going. I'm sure the subject is going to come up, but now I guess it's the time to do it. You heard Greg Schiano's take over the weekend on Big Ten Network where he said, you know, my group of linemen, defensive linemen at Ohio State right now is the best I've ever coached that includes the Bucs. He didn't say include the Bucs, but he not only meant that, he referenced Gerald McCoy. Michael Bennett, that is one of the most idiotic moves in the NFL, not just the Bucs, the NFL in 10 years. And you start looking, I wrote
but
this.
But you don't know who the culprit is.
Well, right? I've been told who it is, and I don't know. It's a reliable source, let's put it that way. And to me, it's the only one that makes sense. Steve knows what I'm talking about, and it doesn't make sense to Steve. So, you know, I wrote this morning. This morning we were taping on Monday, and we wrote this Monday morning. JoeBucksFan.com. Shannon, if you really look at the Bucs defensive line his last year here, what Shannon said on face value is ludicrous.
It is. But and he's got to know that that's going to get out.
Well, of course. He's doing
it. He's got to know that people are going to hear what he said.
He's doing
that's
that.
That's crazy.
Greg's a smart man. You know Greg. He's a smart guy. He's doing that partially for recruiting purposes. He's partially doing it to try to boost the draft leverage for his players. But if you look at what he had to work with his last year in Tampa Bay, not counting Greg or Gerald McCoy, of course, he had absolute freaking garbage. Two of the guys they were banking on, one was a starter, Tiosho, whatever the hell, never took another snap when he left the Bucs. Daquan Bowers, you know, Mr. Gun Packing, Guitar Picking, Gospel Guy. When he left the Bucs, granted, Jason Light gave him two life preservers to stick around, never took another snap in the NFL. So what Shannon was saying, if you think about it, isn't that crazy? Because he had feces to work with outside of Gerald McCoy. Feces. Adrian Claiborne? I mean, come on. Akeem Smith? Name a game changer. Name an impact play Akeem Spence had.
But he had a five-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle.
Well, okay, yeah, but he was talking about, and he emphasizes a unit. Not just one guy, but a unit. When's the last time you saw Akeem Spence make any kind of impact play? The only thing he'll be remembered for is him getting pulled out of the game and Lovie Smith chewing him out. That's the only thing. Nicest guy in the world. Don't get me wrong. One of the nicest guys there that walks the planet. But marginal, he wasn't even marginal.
I think Shiano's a moron. I think he proved it by what he said there, Ira. Absolute moron. First of all, Will Golston was an extraordinarily raw talent and is a guy who might have a 10-year NFL career. And he was drafted on talent, not on skill. He was 20 years old, very raw. And Shiano wanted him. He picked him. So he assessed that talent. Shiano's the one who handpicked the talent. He's the one who told all of us that Daquan Bowers was a double-digit sack guy. Okay, so
and he's my starting left end. Yeah,
He's
until
the
he showed up.
He's the one who said, "Okay, let me assess the talent, and I see Daquan Bowers as a double-digit sack guy. Michael Bennett, be gone." He's the one who assessed the talent and traded up with Dominic to go get Akeem Spence. And meanwhile, they had this guy Chris Jones in camp, a defensive tackle who was here a week. They cut him, and he goes on to get six sacks as a rookie with the Patriots, and then win a Super Bowl the following year. And Akeem Spence didn't do that. This isn't wearing any hardware.
Now, was it Gilchrist or Gilberry? I can't remember the name.
Wallace Gilberry. Shiano couldn't handle him. To whatever he goes to Cincinnati, he's dominant for
and
a couple seasons.
Dominic brought him in twice. He got cut twice.
So I guess the thing is that Shiano's the guy who assessed those guys' talents. So maybe he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about when it comes to talent. And somebody let Michael Bennett walk out of here. And meanwhile, Roy Miller, who was here in 2012, is still in the league and has had some good seasons. And Shiano told everybody he was, quote unquote, tailor-made for the position. So that was his assessment, that he was like the perfect nose tackle, and they let him walk away. So what does Shiano know? Nothing.
Which we'll probably never understand unless we get somebody liquored up some night. By the way, open invitation, Greg and Mark. We will never know who exactly had control of the buttons. What I mean by that is, Who said Miller can't be on the team anymore? Who said Bennett? Now, I've been told what happened with Bennett. And if you listen to Bennett himself, he's basically told what I have heard from different sources. How true that is, I don't know. He makes no bones about it, who called the shots there. And it was neither Shano or Dominic.
Bennett's a very unique player, guys. He's very unique. First of all, he's a rabble-rouser. He's got an opinion on everything. You know that. He's nobody's fool. Smart guy.
Oh, yeah, he's a smart guy.
He's undersized, without question. But his versatility is tremendous. He is one of those rare guys that could play everywhere on the defensive front. And I remember watching that Super Bowl against New England, you know, the famous Malcolm Butler play at the end. I swear, for the first three quarters of that game, Michael Bennett was unblockable. He was unblockable. And you're playing the New England Patriots with Belichick, who knows this is the guy we got to block. Boy, he's a force, and Seattle's still got a heck of a defense. And I think he's the critical piece.
Oh, of course he is.
As good as Cam Chancellor is and some of the other guys, I think it all starts with Bennett.
Right, this is why I don't think it was Dominic's call about Bennett. Dominic pulled him off the street, did he not? GMs who pull a guy off the street and he's on the cusp of being a Pro Bowler, that's a massive feather in your cap.
Didn't he have 9 sacks for the Bucs?
Yes, he did. Yeah. That's a massive feather in your cap. You don't let those guys go for nothing because...
And he was young.
Yeah, he was young. I mean, that is what every general manager craves. Like, pulling a guy off the street and he goes from a nothing
to... That's what you hang on your resume.
Exactly. So it makes no sense that Dominic would want to get rid of the guy, especially for the money Bennett wanted to stay here. Gerald McCoy and him are good friends. You're saying they're brother-in-laws, right?
No.
No?
They're just friends.
Okay, very good friends. Bennett wanted to stay here. And it defies logic that Dominic wouldn't want any part of him. It just defies, especially for that price. Now, one time I was talking to an NFL general manager, and this is one of my favorite rants about Bennett. But I mean, whoever did this, who's ever called this guy was, needs to be put in a public square and flogged. I mean, it was idiotic, doesn't begin to describe how stupidity this was to let Bennett go. And I was talking to an NFL general manager about this, and they said, well, they were scared about his shoulder. And I said, that's what injury clauses are for. You know that. And he's like, well, that's true. So, I mean, it defies any scrap of logic why they let him go.
It was a monumental mistake, Steve, no question.
Well, so Ira, since you're the Sage Hall of Fame voter, Michael Bennett, a couple more good years. You're sitting here basically making a hall pitch. He's a unique player. He dominated in a Super Bowl. He's got a ring. Is Michael Bennett on that cusp one
day? Well, I mean, I would go more with a J.J. Watt if he does it for another 5 years. He's got 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards. I mean, you know, but every team in this league wants Michael Bennett. Every team in this league can use him.
Except the Bucs.
I just think his versatility is fantastic. Hall of Fame, you're getting a little ahead of yourself, Steve, as is your usual custom.
You're the sage. I'm asking you.
My answer is right now, no. Right now, no. Doesn't make
it. I'm just asking you. That's what you were making like a Hall of Fame pitch here.
Right now, Gerald McCoy. Doesn't make it. Not right now.
No, I wouldn't. Well, right. And I'm not anti-McCoy, but no, he's not yet.
Not right now.
Not yet. Same with Bennett. Not yet.
Not yet.
McCoy's not close. Yeah, no playoffs?
Well, it would help if he gets into some postseason games. It helps.
You know, that... Well,
why is Terrell Davis in the Hall of Fame? One simple reason. Postseason. Without postseason, he's not even considered. You don't even look at him. Now,
yeah, he's no Gale Sayers.
Yeah, you know, he had 2 or 3 fantastic regulars.
But he was no Gale Sayers.
But that's not good enough until you look at him and say, this might be the greatest postseason runner in NFL history.
Yeah, I mean, the only...
you got to have that opportunity, Lee, and not a lot of players who play for bad teams don't get that opportunity. But he cashed in when he had that opportunity.
Gale Sayers springs to mind because he had an injury short.
To me, there's
career.
Only one Gale Sayers. To me, there's only one Gale Sayers.
Well, the guy was just so far ahead of everybody else, it wasn't even funny.
You know, maybe a Doug Martin's in that category. you may continue, Mr.
Last call for your last call for your sage wisdom, Ira. Hard Knocks tonight. Hard Knocks. You are on the couch with the chips, the Pringles,
I'm paying for HBO, gentlemen. Do I want to go to a red carpet over there? It might roll up on me. I might sprain my ankle if the red carpet rolls up on me.
Yeah, because you can always DVR the HBO. You
I'm can't over there. I got a Riesling. I got a beet salad to my left. And my Boston Terrier's on my left.
The Boston Terrier on his
Look
left.
Look at this. He remembers his
name. I hope he doesn't have an accident.
What's his name?
Dante. Hey, Dante. By the way, I got a quick story. You got time for a story?
I do, but I got a quick question for you. Hard Knocks question. Do we see the Glazers on Hard Knocks?
Not if it's up to the Glazers. That's my quick. Well, I don't think they're a big part of the story.
No. Do we see them at all? Have they issued the word, do you think, that says, no, we're not on Hard Knocks. We have the Buccaneers as a team. We have final cut on what showed, no Glazers.
I think that's likely.
But he used the key word, seen, not heard, seen.
Seen, not heard.
I wouldn't be surprised if you see them, but obviously they're not mic'd up at all.
It's not their habit to be in public purview. Unless it's in a situation like Gruden going in the Ring of Honor, you know, that's something
there
they look
go.
Forward to.
There you go.
Quick story.
Give me two more Hard Knocks. We got the show tonight. It's the debut. I got two more quick ones for you.
All right, go ahead.
No Glazers, says Ira. Jason Light. You think we get stuff behind the scenes on him, cutting guys, having conversations? Do you think we'll get a flavor of Jason Light, the GM, tonight?
I'm going to say no also. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to be on the broadcast. He'll talk to HBO cameras. He will. You might see him running around with his kids. You know, great family guy, like, no question about it. But I think not to the degree of Glazers avoiding the camera, but Jason Light doesn't want to be the story on Hard Knock.
I think Steve hit the key thing. Cut. Sarah's Benny. Oh, there are two players you couldn't pick out of the lineup got cut. Big deal. The HBO isn't going to mess with that. But
Yeah, Light could be more of a factor as August rolls on.
I'll be willing to lay money. Light's son, Charlie, will be on. Have you seen that clip yet, Steve?
Sure.
Have you seen the clip, Ira?
No, I haven't seen it.
They were following around Quan Alexander and had mic'd up, and Quan was on the bench sitting next to Ali Marpet, and Charlie, I guess, has a job during training camp. His dad gave him to hand out towels. And so he asked Ali Marpet. It was like Charlie Light, and sitting next to him was Quan, and on the left side of Quan was Ali Marpet. So he asked Ali Marpet if he wanted the towel, you know, because he's, you know, 95 degrees. He's just got off the football field. And Allie politely said, no, I don't. And Charlie said, Dad tells me you have a sweating problem.
You know, the HBO loves that. They get a milk.
You got like
forever.
A 9-year-old kid.
You're going to see more of Charlie Light than Jason Light. There's my prediction.
I don't know. All right, last question. Hard Knocks, not just tonight, but in general. And I've got as we go through this, I'll be hitting you with Hard Knocks questions, rapid fire. Gerald McCoy. After Hard Knocks, will fans like him more or less? Will his persona
Buck
change
fans
among the fans?
Or nationally?
Buck fans. Will Bucks fans' perception of McCoy change?
Well, I hope it does, because not all of it's been fair. Not all the perception stuff has been fair. He cares passionately about winning. There's been too much focus on him helping up an opposing running back up off the ground. That's not going to help the Bucs win a single game in 2017.
Well, Leroy Salmon did the same thing.
But I think if it shows the work that McCoy puts in, and you know it's going to show that in terms of Winston, but also McCoy, the work that he puts in, I think that's going to give Buck fans a reason to look beyond some of these stereotypes that we've heard about McCoy. He might be jealous of Winston. He's this, he's that. Joe McCoy's a heck of a football player, and I don't think anybody's generated more praise among the coaches during training camp than 93.
Yes.
And maybe it's a reflection on what those guys told him at the Pro Bowl. You got to do more, Gerald. You got to step up. Looks like he's stepping up.
So, all right. So your answer is yes, if they show the work, his work ethic and work rate behind the scenes. Okay.
Not the kimono stuff.
I got you.
Which
time for
show.
A story, Ira. Tell us a
all
story.
All right, quick story. Maybe I should save this for Miramar, but I'll let it go.
Let it go.
Had a day off yesterday, just like the Kemper. He didn't get off his couch. Who knows what the heck you did? and we went to the beach. My wife and I went to the beach. We like to go in the late afternoon.
Speedo?
We go to Paso Grill all the way down Gulf Boulevard. Long drive.
Speedo?
And they're doing shut up with the speedo. They're doing all kinds of construction. Anyway, we get down there, and we got the nice beach chairs, and we got the tubes, and we got the picnic basket. For no beet salad, but, you know, a little Publix sandwich, half and half. Anyway, we get down there, and we get our spot, and, you know, we get ready to go into the water, and I look off to my left, and the storm clouds are rolling in. I mean, as soon as we get there, I say to my wife, look at this. She goes, Al, we better get our swim in because, you know, half an hour, the storm's hitting. We get out of the water, and now, you know, the wind's picking up. You know that feeling like, here it comes. Mm-hmm. So we grab everything, and she goes, leave the chairs. Let's take everything back to the car, which is close by, and we'll wait it out. So she's reading a magazine, got the air conditioning going. I'm doing a Sudoku puzzle. And we're in there about 15, 20 minutes.
You know how to live it up.
And by now, and now I look in the, you know, and I finished the Sudoku. I got it right. It was a medium puzzle. Not too hard. Well, anyway, the sun's out. Bright sun. Storm passed. It never hit. Hey, let's get out, blah, blah, blah. We gather up all our stuff. We get back out. Somebody stole our chairs. Our chairs are gone. As bits, you don't do that to the sage, the sage of Tampa Bay. Now I start walking up and down the beach. I'm going to find somebody with those chairs. I'm going to chew their ass out. I'm going to tell them, you know, I'm a stick carrier. Give me that chair. Never found it. Who's stealing beach chairs? If you're listening to this and you're responsible, I expect you to call into Joe Bucks Fan. I want your name. I want those chairs back. So that's my story.
Can I ask you a question about your
and they were nice chairs. You know, $30 at Kmart.
Oh, really?
They're nice.
What, $30 a piece?
$30 a piece.
Those are nice.
Damn.
I'm going to ask you about your custom that you may have when you and your bride go to the beach. Do you make sure that you have mirrorized sunglasses?
You mean polarized sunglasses?
Mirrorized.
Oh, mirrorized?
So people can't see where your eyes are
going?
Oh,
my God. Well, you know, it's funny you mention that because you're a married man, Isbeth, and you got to admit this. Every time your eyes start to wander and you're with your wife, she catches you. She catches you red-handed. You think she's oblivious to everything that's going on. She knows everything that's
going on. She knows you, Kaufman.
She knows. What's wrong with looking? I say, what's wrong with looking? See, when you stop looking, you might as well be 6 feet under. How do you like that?
Oh, I'm going to give you set me up for one of my favorite Whitey Herzog lines. Whitey Herzog said, you know when you're getting old, when what's supposed to be limp is stiff and what's supposed to be stiff is limp.
How are you going to top that, Steve?
I have no idea. I am getting out of here, Ira. FanRetreat.com/Miami. That's how you hang out with Ira if you're heading out to the Bucks-Dolphins game. Otherwise, we are back on Thursday with another riveting podcast, and perhaps the beach chairs will turn up.
I will talk about the first episode of Hard Knocks.
We got Hard Knocks. Also, Ira can be found iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, stick them in your phone, stick them in
Pete
your ear.
Beach, everywhere.
Pass the grill.
Hey, the people at Pass the Grill, they don't want you calling them St. Pete Beach. It's a different.
There you go.
Come on.
People at St. Pete or Pass the Grill, find those chairs. We know you have a lovely community. We don't want it to get out there that there are thieves running wild on your beaches. Help Ira out.
Absolutely.
Get those chairs.
Sudoku, unbelievable.